listening to What the Dev, the weekly podcast of SD Times. And now, here's Jenna Barron, news editor at SD Times.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking to Dwayne Poza, who is a former assistant director of the FTC and now an AI lawyer. The focus of today's conversation will be on the emerging AI laws and regulations that we're starting to see as various governments around the world are feeling the pressure to regulate these new technologies. We're going to be talking mainly about President Biden's executive order on AI and the European Union's AI Act and what impact those regulations will have on AI technology. We'll also be talking about California's past in leading regulation in tech and why we should be watching that state going forward. Before we get into all of that, I'd like to welcome Dwayne to the show.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great. It's great having someone with your expertise on the show. So before we get into talking about AI law, can you quickly give our listeners an overview of what you do and your background in AI law?
Sure. So I'm currently a partner at a law firm in DC called Wiley Ryan, and I generally advise companies on emerging technology regulation, including things like privacy. And a good amount of my work these days is on AI, because obviously that's an area where there's lots of proposals to regulate it over the last year or two. I previously worked at the Federal Trade Commission until about 2018. And some of my background in AI comes from my time there. I helped organize the FTC's, what I think was their first event on AI in 2017. So I've been looking at this area for a while now, and it's really picked up steam in the last couple of years.
Can you break down for us what the executive order in the US does, as well as what the AI Act in the EU does?
Sure. So what's interesting is I think the executive order that President Biden issued late last year has a different approach to what the European Union is doing now. So I'll break that down a little more. President Biden issued an executive order in late October of last year. And it covers all kinds of things related to AI. It essentially directs almost every part of the federal government to do different kinds of things on AI. And they're not all regulatory. In fact, the parts of it that directly try to regulate AI are pretty limited. There's a lot of focus on encouraging study of AI, encouraging standards development around AI, and trying to get agencies to focus on, a number of core issues when you think about AI. So for example, there are issues around privacy and how you use data for trade, for example. There are issues about whether or not AI can result in bias or discrimination if it's not used in the right way or not monitored appropriately. And, these are, I think, sort of operational or governance issues with AI that need to be addressed. And a lot of what the federal government is doing is trying to put out frameworks or guidance that can be used to try to address them. So right now, they're not all necessarily regulatory in the sense that, there are some components of it where, particularly for these sort of large foundational models where there are requirements on them, but instead sort of a framework in which companies could use, which, could be at some point part of regulation. The EU is in a different place. They have now passed and are sort of, finalizing the details of the AI Act. And this is a sort of more European style comprehensive regulation of AI that it will be directly, regulatory of how AI is being used. And what's interesting here is that it focuses in large part on what it calls high risk AI. So there are a lot of requirements, particularly around assessments and controls around safety that will apply when AI is used for, a whole category of high risk use cases. Think about things like, employment or health or something like that. And the goal is to try to, focus on really putting guardrails in those areas and then having a lighter touch, although, we'll see how it goes. With AI that might be used for other purposes that are sort of in the lower risk spectrum.
Do you think these are good steps forward in regulating AI?
So it's an interesting question because the approaches are different. It's TBD as to which approach works better and was definitely something we're keeping an eye on. I think one important element of both actually is this risk-based approach, which is really trying to figure out the uses of cases of AI that are higher risk, that might have these issues around security or safety or privacy, and focusing on ways to address those. And not saying that having a direct regulatory approach is necessarily the way to go, as opposed to putting out standards or frameworks or like that. But I think that having that risk-based approach is a good place to start. Obviously, Europe is doing it differently from the US. But the other piece that is interesting in the US is it's just a challenge in the US because AI is so broad, right? It can be used for so many different kinds of things. And when it's used for things like telecom, as opposed to for internet purposes or used in healthcare, in the US, like those are all regulated, by different agencies, right? Or under different laws. And so one thing that I do think that the executive order does well is try to get all these different parts of the federal government aligned so that they are focusing on the same kind of priorities and the same kinds of issues, so that if we're going to enable AI to be, deployed in effective ways, for the benefit of its users, that whatever guardrails are being put in place sort of align across these different areas of the government.
Do you think that these things go far enough, or are there areas that still need addressing?
I think that we're at early stages of figuring out whether or not any additional action is necessary on AI. And I think one message you hear consistently from listening to different kinds of regulators, including my old colleagues at the FTC, is that there are already existing laws that apply. So just think about like anti-discrimination laws, for example. There's laws against bias and discrimination in hiring. And if you use AI to help with a hiring decision, for example, the law still applies. You still can't discriminate. There's certain requirements around, disclosures that need to be made, for example. And so part of, I think, what's going on now is everyone's trying to get a handle on what laws we already have out there. Do they apply? If we start using AI to improve some of these processes, do the laws already sufficiently address, any issues that might go wrong? And so I think we really are at that stage now to try to figure that out. And also, honestly, the technology is moving extremely quickly. And so that is something to keep an eye on. But I think, when I look at this, I think what's already out there and what are regulators or the legal system doing to try to deal with any issues that might come up just under the tools that they already have.
Now, shifting the conversation a little bit, just a couple years ago, California was sort of the leader in data privacy in the US because of the California Consumer Privacy Act, which was really the most comprehensive privacy law we had at the time. So do you think we'll see that state taking the lead in AI regulation too?
Yeah, that's a great question. As background, California really pushed, the limits of privacy regulation in the U.S. By enacting the first sort of comprehensive privacy law of any state, and its privacy law has had such a huge impact. Obviously, it's California, a large state. And has really, I think, set an example for many other states, now well over a dozen, that have followed with their own laws. I think we're seeing potentially something similar happening with AI. Now, I don't think it necessarily has to end up that way. I think there could be, some serious issues if you have a patchwork of state laws that have different requirements for AI. I think that would be very difficult and unwieldy. But I do think that if you just look at some of the stuff California is doing now. There's proposed legislation around AI, and then their privacy agency actually has the ability to make additional rules on AI. So right now, they're essentially considering whether or not to impose more requirements on what they call automated decision-making technology, which, you know, includes a lot of what we think of as AI. But these would actually be requirements that will sound similar to these privacy requirements. So potentially opt-out rights, notice rights to consumers if AI is being used to make certain kinds of decisions, or potential risk assessments. So, you know, I'm definitely looking to see what California does over the next year. I do think that that could send a signal to, you know, if they move forward to approaches in other states. And, you know, again, the concern is that if you have a patchwork approach throughout states, particularly for a technology like AI, it could become unwieldy and difficult, actually.
Yeah, that definitely seems like it would be very hard to, like, just to manage all that with all the different states. Do you, like, I know it is a possibility that we do end up with kind of like a patchwork of laws across the country, but do you think that perhaps the fact that Biden has signed this executive order and has been doing a lot of work in this area, do you think that's a sign that maybe we will have some sort of federal regulation on this?
I think that's a good question. I think the executive order has done, you know, as I mentioned, a good job of setting up approaches across the federal government to deal with AI. You know, just looking at the last few months of what's been going on in the states, they're still moving ahead, at least in considering different things to regulate AI. But I do think that there are, you know, some limitations to what can be done on the executive order level. At the end of the day, it deals with, you know, federal agencies that already have existing authority. There are some things that, like, you know, the Federal Trade Commission, for example, could do or try to do around consumer protection rules. But really, you know, to have something really comprehensive, I think it's similar to privacy. It would have to be an approach by Congress. I think we're a ways away. You know, Congress has, you know, had a bunch of high profile discussions around AI. I think that they're looking at, like, very specific kinds of potential laws, like around deepfakes, for example. They're a ways away from anything. And I think, you know, we still are a far way off of trying to do anything sort of comprehensively on it. So I think, you know, what the administration is doing is a good step forward. And I think the states will, we'll watch, see what comes out of the states. In terms of whether or not they're going to try and tackle some of these bigger picture issues around AI.
Do you have any insight into what sort of effects that consumers are going to start seeing as a result of these things we've been talking about?
Yeah, I think this goes back a bit to what I was saying earlier about how existing laws might already apply. So, for example, if you know, a big question around using AI tools is how your data is treated, right? So I think you're going to see, and you already will if you're using these tools, you know, privacy disclosures, and including, you know, what happens to my data if I use these tools? Is it used to train the model? Is it essentially in, you know, a sort of a sandbox that wouldn't be shared for training purposes or other purposes? And, you know, so you think about, for example, even in like a business context, if where there's like an additional personal information, confidential information, you know, those are the kinds of questions that, you know, individuals or companies need to be asking around any data that's used with these tools. But it's also going to be the kind of thing where there will be, you know, sort of notices and rules around the way that the data gets treated. So I think that that's one example. And again, it's coming from these privacy laws, right, that have already been passed or already being developed as applied to AI. So I think that's one way consumers might see the impact of rules around AI. And also, also an area to watch out for, right? If you're using these tools, it's understanding sort of how data is used and, you know, privacy rights around that.
We're about out of time here, but what is a key takeaway from our conversation that you'd like listeners to really leave with?
Yeah, I think a key takeaway is that everything is moving very quickly in this area. You know, generative AI, you know, exploded in popularity, what, maybe a year ago, a year and a half ago. It suddenly became a tool that a lot of folks were using or experimenting with in their day-to-day basis. And then pretty quickly, people realized, you know, that a lot of these tools, you know, they call them hallucinations, but essentially just the way they operate, often can produce output that is, you know, not factual and not even necessarily meant to be factual. But that's also been like, also, I think, quickly a learning process, right? Like, I think now there's an understanding that that there needs to be human oversight and review of when you're using these tools, what things they're good for, what things they're better at. But also that's all changing very quickly too. So I find it very exciting. And I think the level with which we are sort of learning and adapting to these tools is really exciting. And, you know, mostly I'm pretty excited about the things they can do. So it's a dynamic area. And I think, you know, if we do this again in 6 months or a year, we'll be talking about all kinds of new and interesting things too.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have to ask you back on in like maybe even a couple months, because this is such a like rapidly changing thing.
Now, always happy to talk about it. It's definitely an exciting area. And thanks again for having me.
Yeah, it was great having you.